97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning. Good Friday morning to you, St. Louis. Thanks for tuning in. The psychotic weather continues. Neurotic weather. How would you put it?
St. Louis weather.
Yeah, all of the above. Imbalanced weather, like 40 yesterday, 60 today. Going to be 45 tonight. I mean, it's just all over the place. I have to tell you.
Maybe we'll light a fire tonight. We have a wood-burning fireplace at our house, and that was one of the selling features. That was one of the reasons that I wanted to get that house, because I grew up with one, and nothing beats wood-burning.
Nothing beats that, or a good outdoor fireplace or fire pit. Yeah, on a night like that, should be outstanding. By the way, I want to get first things first out of the way this morning. Carl, we owe you an apology.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Because you are five, and we forgot your birthday a couple days ago. So happy birthday, Carl Millman.
Thanks.
A day late, a dollar short. We did bring you donuts this morning. We did. Kim got picked up some donuts for you this morning.
I appreciate that. I gave her a big hug.
It's no such thing as a late birthday donut.
True.
That makes up for everything, right, Kim?
Right.
Yeah, yes. We hope.
We're sorry.
Don't be sorry. They both said, well, why didn't you say anything? I said, because I'm not 5 years old. I don't need to. Oh, hey, everybody, pay attention to me. It's my birthday.
Yeah, he's not 5 years old, but you know what he did yesterday? He texted my daughter to wish her a happy birthday.
I did.
And then ratted me out for forgetting his birthday.
She's like, when's your birthday? And I said, it was yesterday. She's like, my dad didn't tell me that.
Oh.
Because your dad forgot.
Mark,
yeah,
we need to put it in our calendar for next year.
I did already. Thank you. That will not happen again. So anyway, hope you're having a great Friday. I went to vote yesterday, and so did Kim St. Ange and her whole family.
And we went to both. So you hit up the Wentzville location. I went to St. Peter's.
Yes. And Kim made the correct decision. She chose wisely. Yeah.
Well, it still took her an hour.
Took me an hour and 45 minutes.
Mm. Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I texted Kurt Barr yesterday, the director of elections in St. Charles County, because I'm getting messages from people in other counties, in St. Louis County, in Jefferson County. Hey, zoomed right in, zoomed right out, didn't have any problems.
Wow.
Because they've got multiple locations to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And in St. Charles County, you have two, and one of them has major road construction going on the outside of it.
Yep.
Which was the biggest delay for you yesterday, right?
And here's what I recommend. Yeah. If you are going to vote at that St. Peter's location, do not take 70. That's the worst case scenario. You're going to get backed up on the ramp off the interstate. Either take 79, or best case scenario, what you should do is get off 70 at Mid Rivers Ball Drive, kind of where all those shops are, Home Goods and Marshalls, I think, and take back roads. That is going to be, you will probably zoom right in if you do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one approach to it. I sent this picture of the long line I was standing in yesterday to Kurt Barr, the director of elections out in St. Charles County. And I'm like, listen, my estimated wait time is 1.5 hours. What are you going to do about this? You've got a week left of early absentee voting. And his answer to me was, we will have more judges next week at Element. And I promise we will process everyone who's in line today by 3. The location at that other church doesn't open till 9, and it closes at 3.
Okay, that's
6 hours of voting every day, and the line was steady the entire time I was there. So the people getting into the back of it had at least an hour and a half wait. Mine was an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, here's my issue. I was wondering why they didn't open up another polling location. It seems simple, like they could do it as soon as Monday to fix this issue. But I thought to myself, well, I wonder if it's a lack of election judges, right? Because there is training associated with that. They're paying them, things like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's not the issue. So I don't understand. I mean, seriously, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong here. Adding more election judges to the same polling location isn't going to solve the issue. Why are we not opening up a third location and moving those election judges there? I mean, seriously, I would like that question answered.
An easy fix. I will note that there were maybe 25 tables where you could sit down and vote yesterday. They were all full all the time, right? And they were limited by that to some extent. And then they have to have a Republican and a Democrat judge check you in. There were probably 8 pairs. There were probably 4 pairs sitting there, 8 people You know, and as soon as they'd get done, they'd wave the next person over. That's what kind of limited the flow. Because even if you speed up the amount of time it takes to process people, because you have 10 people sitting there instead of 8, you still need to expand the space they have to vote. Or you can't squeeze any more people in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. A couple of answers there. Obviously, you know, we're armchair warriors on this, but I still think there's some room for criticism there on the way St. Charles County has handled this. No doubt about it. So continue to vote early. Don't let that discourage you. I met some great people in line yesterday. They shared my frustration, but they did stand in the line and they did vote because it's that important to them. Don't let that discourage you from going out there and voting. I think it will get better as the days go along here, because you've got tomorrow, all of next week to do this in. So don't be discouraged. I you know, said that to my wife yesterday. I'm like, I know it's going to take a chunk of your day, but you got to go get this done. If you wait till election day and the lines are that long everywhere because everybody waited, it's just going to be worse.
I'll tell you what, I was so proud voting and then walking out. I had to stop myself from writing in big capital letters on Amendment 3. No, in addition to filling out the bubble, I stopped myself.
Yeah, and it didn't take long.
Knowing the issues,
it didn't take long.
Which is why I decided not to do that.
No stray ink marks anywhere on the ballot. Thank you very much. Coming up, we are going to talk to U.S. Senator Josh Hawley. He's been a busy man. He's been all over the state in that bus. He's been talking on Fox News. And finally, we're going to get him here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. After requesting him for a couple of weeks, we're going to get him in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Be sure and stick around for that. I've got the future Secretary of State, who's got a few criticisms of how we do things in the state of Missouri when it comes to elections. And I'm going to get him on the air here, Denny Hoskins, at about 7:35. So that's coming up. Mark that. But first, let's get to our shortlist, Carl.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Kamala Harris does not have the compassion, the intelligence, or the strength the presidency needs. I know what it needs.
Yeah, Donald Trump crossing the nation. He was in Arizona, I think. He was in Nevada. He's been all over the place trying to whip up votes. And meanwhile, all Kamala Harris could do is drag in people like Bruce Springsteen, who sounded awful yesterday at her rally out there. And when he was done, people started leaving before Harris even got up to speak.
There are so many reasons to beat this guy, but one of them, it might be petty, but I'm going to own it. I just don't want to look at him anymore on TV. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's petty. It's the governor of Minnesota who is trying to make the closing argument that you should vote against Donald Trump just because we don't want to look at him anymore on TV. You really think people want to hear that? A nail on a chalkboard voice for 4 years? Give me a break.
I find the fact that she just doesn't really articulate to me her true policy position.
Wow. Did you recognize that voice?
Oh, yeah.
Katie Couric, longtime NBC anchor, on with Charlemagne the God. Not quite sure how in the world the guy got that name, but she doesn't think that Kamala is authentic. Imagine that.
I think that clip illustrates exactly why Harris is in trouble at this point. And it's something that I don't understand why the campaign does not address.
Yeah, it is an ongoing problem. Frank Luntz there, the guy you used to see all over Fox News at one point. Obviously, he's a pollster and he does those instant reaction kind of pieces on debate speeches and all of that, trying to judge what's going on. He doesn't think that Kamala is making the case. And I don't know how you could watch, if you did watch, that town hall the other night on CNN and not come to the exact same conclusion. When your answer to every question is, yeah, but Donald Trump, you don't have an argument. All you are is against the other guy, and you've not made any show at all of what you would do. Go ahead and play that lunch bite, Carl. Cut number 8, please.
I think that clip illustrates exactly why Harris is in trouble at this point. And it's something that I don't understand why the campaign does not address. They asked her specifically, where do you stand on the wall? And what does she do? She goes and shifts it right to Donald Trump. Immediately mentions him twice. Right. Within the first 5 seconds, she still hasn't closed the deal. She still hasn't said to people exactly what she would do. In fact, what she should have done in the opening of that town hall is said, I want to tell you what I'm going to do in the first hour, in the first day, and in the first week.
Luntz seems kind of desperate to help her with messaging, doesn't he?
I mean, she seriously needs the help. He's spot on. And that was what Katie Couric was saying, is that she takes a long time to make a point, but then doesn't really actually make one. And she seems very scared to say something like answer a direct question about her plans for the wall, the border, because she's worried that maybe it'll come back to bite her.
Well, I mean, she's got PTSD from that beating she took in the primary in 2019, right? When she expressed her real feelings and got exactly 2% of support of left-wing liberal, even left-wing liberal Democrats didn't like her when she told you what she really wanted to do, which is hard. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that 2% represented the really hard-wing pink hat wearing lefties in the Democrat Party. I don't know what the answer is. I got some reaction from Scott Jennings on it, who's about the only sane voice on CNN these days. I'll get to that for you coming up in just a minute. But first, Carl, I guess we should get to the fray.
Even if we're just dancing in the dark, can't start a fire. Worrying about your little world falling apart. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe people were leaving because he sounded so horrible. I don't know. Is that where Reardon went? I know he's off for a couple days. He might have gone out there to a... I'm just teasing. He would never go to a Harris rally, but he is a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I think Bruce Unplugged is the problem.
Yes.
If he had his full band behind him with rock guitars and all that, you wouldn't hear
Little
mostly
Steven
him.
And Max Weinberg.
Yeah.
Maybe the rest of the E Street Band is not necessarily politically in with Bruce.
Could be. I don't know. But that was not his best performance yesterday. Maybe he didn't warm up enough. And it's true, though. The minute he got done, and it was a fairly good-sized crowd at the arena, but it was pretty obvious why most of them were there, because they heard their idol Bruce Springsteen was going to be there. And big empty pockets of seats suddenly appeared when he was done. People got up and walked out.
It sounds like that will happen, isn't it, tonight when she's having Beyonce attend
sure.
one of her rallies?
Well, no. You need to understand what's happening here. She's not attending a Kamala rally. Kamala had to fly to Houston to hold a rally to get Beyonce to attend.
She's like, I'm going to go to her concert and just call it a rally because Beyonce will pack the arena that I could not pack.
That's what she's doing. In Red, Texas, Kamala Harris isn't going to get a huge crowd. Beyonce will. Maybe
That's
she'll sing
sad.
Her country song, you think?
It's not that the Republicans haven't had some celebrities trying to express their support, but it is sad. It feels like the Democrats, they are really relying on that, leaning into the whole, look at Hollywood, they support us. Well, of course Hollywood supports them.
Kim, in the Republican Party, it's Celebrity Apprentice right now. Trump is the star.
Yeah.
And people show up to see Trump.
Yes.
Not because he's dragging a UFC star or Dana White or Kid Rock. I mean, some people might show up in Michigan to see Kid Rock or Ted Nugent if he's running around Michigan. But Trump's not flying to a different state just to get somebody else to fill up the arena. He's filling up the arena. He's filling up Madison Square Garden in New York City, and it's driving the left nuts. Hillary Clinton accused him of being like a Nazi because of Madison Square Garden. Go to cut 5.
You know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it.
What a horrible woman she is.
Yeah, honestly. How many events have been held in Madison Square Garden?
Lots.
Basketball games.
Hockey games.
Hockey games. Concerts. But because one rally by Donald Trump's being held there, it must be just like a Nazi rally held in the 1930s. Are you kidding me? I mean, what a horrible woman she is.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, name it.
Again, the party of tolerance speaks.
Back off, you creep.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
We're back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
It's a very extravagant holiday tradition.
Neiman Marcus is out with its 98th edition of its Christmas book, and as always, it features some unusual and high-priced items.
And after 98 years of putting out this Christmas book, Neiman Marcus has quietly taken off the word Christmas and changed it to holiday book because Christmas is just way too offensive.
Are you kidding me?
Do you remember Kamala Harris spoke about this? And I want to say this was back in 2016. And I think she just said it in such an eloquent way. Listen to this.
How dare we speak Merry Christmas? How dare we?
How dare you? Don't you dare utter those words. Happy holidays, yeah. Okay? It's all about inclusivity. In fact, that was what the CEO, for the retailer, Neiman Marcus, said. In the spirit of inclusivity, there it is, as it welcomes customers of all backgrounds, religions, and traditions to celebrate the season. Ding, 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 ding. That's why, because it's offensive. How dare you say Merry Christmas? How dare you?
Well, I mean, how long it couldn't have... We can't be surprised that they've gotten to this point. Maybe I'm more surprised that it took this long.
Well, I thought a lot of companies and bands changed their name back in, I guess it would have been 2020, 2021. Like the Dixie Chicks became the Chicks. And there were other bands. Carl, you would know. What were some of the other bands?
Lady Antebellum.
Thank you. Is it Lady A now?
Yes.
Okay.
A can stand for a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah. I would venture to guess that sales will be down. I mean, here's the thing. At our church every year, the message is give more of yourself and less material stuff. So true Christians don't see the holiday as a commerce-driven event. However, retail has always seen it as a commerce-driven event. I mean, it's not a Hallmark holiday. People are actually out celebrating. You don't have to encourage them to do that. You just want them to come to your store and buy their Christmas gifts that they're going to spend on. Why would any retailer want to not acknowledge that? Right? I mean, why would you do that? It's like not saying Happy Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day. You want to sell as many chocolate-covered strawberries as you can on that day. I don't understand that at all. It defies logic from a commerce perspective. Just like Anheuser-Busch going out and getting Dylan Mulvaney to push Bud Light, mm-hmm. What small percentage of your audience are you actually appealing to with that message?
Right, and it's funny that Neiman Marcus did it quietly, and I'm not surprised. But these companies, they want to make these changes, but they don't want to be forthcoming about it because they know it will upset people. I think about Harley Davidson, and they've been under fire for several months now because of some of these DEI things they were doing. I think it was Lowe's maybe that just reversed some of its DEI policies because they weren't effective. It was angering customers. And so they realized, okay, we should probably end these and maybe sales will go up, and they should also improve their customer service. That's a separate topic, but it's worth saying.
It's worth pointing out, a friend of mine who has been very successful, he's held C-suite level jobs in a number of different industries. And he said that corporate America is a bubble where people have one goal. Number one, the CEOs want to surround themselves with people on boards who will reappoint them as CEO. So once they've gotten the golden handcuffs on, they don't want to do anything to upset the liberals they've surrounded themselves with on these boards. The people who get appointed to these corporate boards make a couple hundred grand a year just for being a board member and attending a meeting or two. They don't want to lose these lucrative jobs. They feel a little bit of pressure from an outside group like BLM or whoever is against Christmas, and they pressure woke corporate policies on these corporations. The CEOs go along with it because they don't want to buck the board, and they exist in a bubble. It's not reality based. It's not because there's any real reason to do it other than they want to feel good, which is why liberals do everything. They don't use their brain. It's just however it makes them feel.
Right.
And then you end up with corporate policies like this, or at Anheuser-Busch, or Target, or any number of these big corporations who think they're appealing to the good in someone when it's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of people who are going to buy their product. And they're alienating all of those people who don't have that point of view. Why would you do that?
Well, I remember when Target was going through everything and so many people were boycotting them, myself included. They were coming out and saying they don't really care about the sales as much as they care about that score. And I'm blanking on what it is. It's like an S something, something,
yes,
whatever score.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Basically, how inclusive are they? All of those things. So I think it did make an impact that all of us were boycotting them because their sales were noticeably down.
Absolutely.
I mean, money does, right? I mean, money drives the majority of really decisions in the world, but ultimately, they just wanted to make sure that they were getting a good score on that.
If you have a big enough constituency, you can get away with blackmail, corporate blackmail like that. I mean, it's how Jesse Jackson enriched himself. It's how Al Sharpton enriched themselves. They went to these big corporations and said, you will either fund the Rainbow Coalition or we will boycott your business and make you look bad and accuse you of being racist, and the money poured in. It's how the race baiters enriched themselves in this country because they had a big enough constituency. Some of these folks can't get away with that now, I don't believe. And it's going to come back to bite them in the retail pants at Christmas time.
If enough people do boycott, and I don't know how many people are actually, in this case, shopping at Neiman Marcus. I mean, seriously, who can afford stuff at Neiman Marcus? I'm looking at the website right now, and I think these items are featured in their Christmas book, or I'm sorry, should I call it the holiday book?
The restaurant's great.
I guess I have been. Didn't they have
Mariposa?
That? Well, no, maybe I'm thinking of something different. Anyway, there's this bracelet that looks like, I'm sorry, this is the only way I can describe it to you. It looks like those little stones, you know, were put on a piece of just like the stretchy band. I could go make it. What's that craft store that I'm thinking of?
Hobby Lobby?
Hobby Lobby. I could go to Hobby Lobby today, I'm sorry, and make this bracelet. And they're selling it on their website for guess how much?
$800.
Wow, you were really close. $850.
Wow, that's good.
Do you want me to make you one?
Would you do
that? I'll sell it and just, you know, up
make
the price a little. I'll sell it for $800, so it's a little less than the Neiman Marcus one.
I thought you were going to
make You'll
it
get
for
a
me for
great
free.
Deal. Absolutely
free
not.
Be, free would be a better deal.
And then Mark will sell it for $800.
Yeah, thank you.
I just don't get why these companies have not learned after watching, like you said, watching what AB went through, all of these things. Why are you not learning from that and seeing that these changes that you think are a good idea in the name of inclusivity just tend to backfire? Now, this move from Neiman Marcus is not as overt as what we saw Anheuser-Busch do with Dylan Mulvaney and that personalized can. But it should be obvious to me that this just isn't the right decision. And yet these companies, time and again, continue making these odd changes that they think are going to win people over because they show their support for all holidays and all backgrounds and all religions.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. And the thing about it is, here's what they don't understand at Neiman Marcus. They've now pissed off the wrong person. Greta Thunberg is no longer on their Christmas list.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones.
We should just play the Kamala bite again. How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you say Merry
steal
Christmas?
Steal my dreams. You can't steal my dreams.
My dreams? Are you Dracula?
Listen to her.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet, you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams.
Well, here's the thing that we all need to remember. If Kamala Harris is elected, she wants to support our dreams and aspirations. So,
well, it's true.
Just please remember that.
We will be on the upswing as soon as that happens. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back and talk a little bit about the election, the voter guide here that's out and about and available for you as you head to the polls, and how important that can be when you got to go stand in a line for an hour and a half like I did yesterday, or an hour and 45 minutes. We're going to be back right after this.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Yeah, it's true. And yeah. Thank you, President Reagan. Government's the problem. I've talked about this earlier in the week, but it's something I think is worth addressing again. And this is, I don't know what's going to happen post-election. Now, I mean, I like to come here on the radio and tell you that based on momentum I'm seeing in this race, I think Donald Trump's got a good chance of getting reelected. I believe that could happen. And the Democrats will tell you, including Kamala Harris, that if that happens, he's going to come and try to lock you up. He's going to be a dictator. He's going to end democracy as we know it, even though he did none of those things when he was president for 4 years the last time around. And hopefully people that hear her spew this nonsense understand that it's not Donald Trump you need to be worried about. So if you heard that soundbite with Mark Halperin and Tucker last week that I aired, he's truly convinced that people are going to take to the streets if this election doesn't go the way they want it to go, right? Maybe on both sides, but certainly on the liberal left-wing nut jobs embodied in the face of that crazy professor at the University of Missouri a few years ago, who's now infamous on memes for screaming at somebody because she didn't like their point of view. Those people will take to the streets the minute it's announced that Donald Trump won the election. You know that they will, because they're crazy. They're going to be screaming that their rights are being taken away and they're being forced back into the Jim Crow era and all of the garbage that the left has been spewing against Donald Trump. And not a single word of it is based in any fact whatsoever. No evidence of this, right? But what's interesting here is that the left will always accuse you of what they're guilty of. Always. It's what they do. And this Department of Defense directive that we mentioned earlier this week is something that I don't know how you can ignore. This quietly floated out on September 27th of this year. So not quite a month ago, this was issued in the dark of the night. And had somebody not picked up on it, we might not even be aware of it. Department of Defense Directive 5240.01, cleared for public release from the Directions Division of the Department of Defense. And the what it does is it amends their intelligence activities that can be approved by the commander, not just the commander-in-chief, but the Department of Defense, right? The defense secretary can approve this. And I just want to read it to you because I think it's important that people understand this. The defense intelligence components, this was already part of the law, may provide personnel to assist a federal department or agency, including law enforcement, or a state or local law enforcement agency when lives are in danger in response to a request for such assistance in accordance with the following approval authorities. The Secretary of Defense may approve any type of requested permissible assistance. Here's what they added. Assistance is responding with assets for potential lethality or any situation in which it is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use of force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. It also includes all support to civilian law enforcement officials in situations where a confrontation between civilian law enforcement and civilian individuals in groups is reasonably anticipated. Such use of force will be in accordance with DOD Section 5210, potentially as further restricted based on the specifics of the requested support. So in other words, they quietly changed this to allow the United States military to be called up by the Secretary of Defense to use lethal force against citizens who take to the street in protests that they don't like. That's not Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense. That's Kamala Harris's and Joe Biden's Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. Why did they change this 1 month and a half before a federal election? Because they think the outcome is not going to be what they wanted. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.